Shalom, everyone. We're going to go ahead and continue in our journey through the book of James, Yaakov. I believe this is part number 10. And we're going to start today in James chapter 5, verse 1. This section today is a teaching concerning the rich. And as we go through it, we'll see evidence of that. So verse 1, again, James chapter 5, verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and wail over the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your clothes have become moth-eaten. So here we go again. We got Yaakov, James, reminding his people what the Lord has instructed them for a thousand of years to do. In verse 1, he's warning the people about making riches an idol before the Lord. And before I go on with this, I want to say that Adonai doesn't have a problem with his people being rich. He wants his people to be rich, well supplied, and generous. However, he just doesn't want them lifting up or elevating, again, this idea of placing something on a bima, on an elevated position, or placing on a pedestal their riches as an idol, or their riches as an idol before them to worship, and an idol in place of him. So today there's a prosperity movement that in some cases they've taken it just way out of bounds and way away from what true biblical prosperity is. If you receive the Lord as your Messiah and he's taking care of you, you're biblically prosperous. Amen?
Amen.
And not everyone is going to be naturally rich. And it's mainly because of the problem right here that he's dealing with. This is the main, it's not the only problem, but it's a huge one, if not the main one. Because many people don't know how to handle riches. It will destroy many people. And God has a systematic way of doing things in our lives to protect us. Amen. So he's not going to do something to you that's going to cause you to stumble. If he knows it's going to cause you to stumble, why would he do that? Pretty basic. And it's interesting because studies show that most people who have won the lottery, you think about that whole idea. Everyone, they want to win the lottery. If someone, you know, won the lottery and gave me $1 million from it, would I say no? I don't think anybody would say no. That being said, you've just been given the biggest responsibility and challenge to deal with of your life, right? So it's interesting, I heard about a study. And in the study, they took two people. Well, let me say this first, before I can go to that study. The statistics show that most people, 1 year later, after they win the lottery, they're broke, mm-hmm. and they're miserable, and they've got more problems than they ever had to deal with. Mm-hmm. But they did this study, and they took a paraplegic person who had been in an accident and lost the use of all four limbs. Mm-hmm. Around the same time as someone who won the lottery. So they followed him for a year. See, at the end of the year, the person with the money, they were broke, lost relationships, had family members come out of the woodwork seeking money, yeah. seeking help. Mm-hmm. Emotionally, they were distraught because if they helped one and didn't help the other, then there was a problem. Mm-hmm. If they helped them all, they were broke. They didn't have money, so when this money was presented to them, they didn't know what to do, how to deal with it. So, compare that to the paraplegic person. So now this person, a year later, well, it's been a year since they had this accident. So during this year, they've learned how to deal with their new condition. And a year later, they look back and say, okay, well, this is reality now, and so I'm moving forward. So you have the paraplegic person is on the way up because they're just thankful to be alive again, that they didn't die and they're moving forward. You have the person who won the lottery with all the problems that it causes wishes they never would have won it. Interesting. So the person who didn't know how to handle this bonanza of money given to them, heaped upon them, it wasn't just a natural, money comes naturally. It's a natural thing. We can hold it. It's in this world. But they had to deal with not only the natural, but the psychological. Psychologically, they had to deal with the money. Emotionally, spiritually. So when we see this verse, it shouldn't surprise us in the natural that once we are blessed with money and things, then we're without them. No one wants to have that happen to them. No one wants to go backwards in this way. But we can never put them up as an idol before Adonai. This shows us that we need to be careful with riches. And once we have them, we don't want to go backwards, but we don't want them to destroy us either. The state you're in right now, you know how to handle. And so there's a reason why oftentimes the Lord grows us slowly. How many of you know that slow growth is good growth? Slow growth is healthy growth. It's long-lasting growth. Amen. And we need to be careful asking Adonai for riches in any area because, I didn't say don't, I said be careful, because it will cost you to be successful. Mm-hmm. And it will cost you even more if you fail. Things and riches are like fire. When controlled and contained, they are great. But when just a little escapes, it can burn down everything you have. So if you desire great things in any arena of life, natural or spiritual, do it Adonai's way. Amen? Amen. This part of our human nature that we were born with existed from when we came out of our mother's womb. And even as a child, this has been scientifically observed. There's another study. Interesting. They took a baby. They took babies and they put them in their crib. And they hung a little mobile over the crib with one or two little strings hanging with something for them to play. And the babies were happy playing with those little strings. But then they took another set of babies and they put a mobile up. And they had 5 or 10 things for them to play with. And then they switched the babies. So now the baby with the mobile that had 1 or 2 things, they've got like 8, 5, or 10, and they were excited to have it. But the babies who went from 5 or 10 to 1 or 2 were crying and fussing and didn't like it. Even as a baby, they recognized they had more, and they lost it, and they didn't like it. Hallelujah. So it's just a natural thing we have to deal with. So back to the story here, Yaakov, he says to the people, come on, why are you wailing over the miseries that are coming on you? Why aren't you looking at your God and focusing on him instead? He didn't say all that. I'm just paraphrasing what he was trying to get across to them. So we need to be supernaturally led, not just naturally led. Part of the blessing of God is that their clothes would not wear out. I want to read this and other blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience in another passage. So save your spot there and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now I'll give you a second to get there. So Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 1, he says, you are to take care to do the whole mitzvah that I am commanding you today, so that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that Adonai swore to your fathers. You are to remember all the way that Adonai your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his mitzvot or not. Verse 3, He afflicted you and let you hunger. Then he fed you manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, in order to make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Adonai. Verse 4 says, neither did your clothing wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. So here we see Yaakov, James, he's telling them the blessings, but your clothes have worn out. And here we see, he's telling them the cursings rather, their clothes wore out. Well, they should know from thousands of years ago, the blessing upon their people was that when they were in good standing with the Lord, their clothes didn't even wear out during their time in the wilderness. Verse 5 says, now you know in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so Adonai your God disciplines you. So you are to keep the mitzvot of Adonai your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For Adonai your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of wadis with water, of springs and fountains flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines, figs, and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat bread with no poverty, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills you can dig copper. So you will eat and be full, and you will bless Adonai your God for the good land he has given you. Verse 11, take care that you do not forget Adonai your God by not keeping his mitzvot, or his commands, ordinances, and statutes that I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold, we're going to talk about that in a little bit too, multiplies for you, and all that is yours multiplies, then your heart will be haughty, and you will forget Adonai your God. See, here we go again. Money and stuff, wonderful when it's possessed honorably. When it's not, it quickly turns and brings a whole host of problems. Praise you, Lord. He brought you out from the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness, fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought forth water for you from the flinty rock. That flinty rock is referring to Miriam's well, which was basically Yeshua following them around, providing water. That's a whole nother portion, but that's what he's referring to there. Verse 16, he fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know. So here it is. They're hungry in the wilderness, and he provides them with not just a miracle. You know, he sent them quail. Well, they knew quail. They'd seen quail. They've eaten quail before. He sent them quail. Now he sends them manna, something they'd never even known. I mean, if that's not a miracle to cause you to trust the Lord, I don't know what it is. People say seeing is believing. That person never read this. Seeing is not believing. Believing is believing. Hallelujah. Faith is believing. Faith is not seeing. Doubting Thomas said, if I can only put my finger through the hole in his hand, I would believe. He still didn't believe. Mm-mm. Although I shouldn't say that, because later on it said to Thomas, he went to India and he died as a martyr on top of this hill. So he did get it right eventually. Hallelujah. And you know what? I don't want to be in their shoes. I don't know what I would have done in that situation either. Because there's times the Lord has done something. I'm like, Lord, did you really do that? Well, I just, did these five things that couldn't have been done to you, are you really doubting? Hallelujah.
He encouraged the other 11 or 10 because they had not seen Thomas. Thomas wasn't there.
Right, that's believed. True.
So he said, blessed are you.
Blessed, right. He told them, blessed are you who believed without seeing. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. Verse 17. Actually, let me read 16 again. I didn't read all of it. He fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, in order to afflict you and to test you to do good in the end. He's spurring his people on, saying, hey, come on, come on. Get it together. And I love verse 18. Rather, you are to remember Adonai your God, for it is he who gives you the power to make wealth, in order to establish his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So again, I'm just reading all this to see the Lord wants us to have, he just wants us to do it righteously. Amen. He want, and here's why he said, here's why his believers are supposed to have. In order to establish his covenant that he swore to your fathers. We're sons and daughters of Abraham. There's a covenant that comes with that of provision, a lineage of provision. You know, all of us here who have kids and some who don't have kids, if you can imagine having kids, do you want to tell your kids, you know what? Me and mom had this. Now for the rest of your life, you're going to have less. You would never think to tell your children that. I mean, how people would look at you and say, you're a terrible mom or terrible father. No, you look at your children and say, children, me and mom have this. When we go on to be with the Lord, it's all yours. But not only that, we want you to have more, to be more blessed than we've ever been, to walk closer to the Lord than we ever have. All the blessings that the Lord has for you, we pray that you will be in a position to receive. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 19, now if you do forget Adonai your God, here we go. Things are turning south right here. And look at this. And do what? Go after other gods and serve them and worship them. Here we go again. This has constantly been an issue with the people of God. Constantly getting into trouble with some things. Not because they didn't know. They knew better. Hallelujah. I solemnly warn you today that you will certainly perish. So there it is. He's telling them right there that if you don't listen to what I'm saying, what I'm telling you to do, you're going to die. He didn't say I'm going to discipline you. He said you're going to die. You shall surely perish. Verse 20 says, like the nations Adonai makes perish before you, so you will perish. Here it is, his holy people who are called by his name, and he tells them, you're going to be just like the other 69 nations if you keep this up. I'm going to treat you like pagans if you keep this up. That's not good. That's not good. Not good at all. Since you would not listen to the voice of Adonai, your God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So in verse, going back to James chapter 5, verse 3. This is interesting. So we talked about gold here, that he would bless you with gold and silver if you were obedient to him. Verse 3 says, your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidence against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have stored up treasure in the last days. Again, Adonai has no problem with someone having stored up treasure or things, as long as they are not, as long as they are not stored to worship, to be set up as an idol before him. So it's a good judge of yourself and situations concerning stuff and money to do this. Ask yourself this. Do you have money? Or does money have you? Do you have stuff? Or does stuff have you? Hallelujah. So let's continue in this. It gets really interesting, some of these parallels. Verse 4, yeah, we're coming to that. Absolutely, absolutely. So it says here, concerning the gold and the silver, look what it says. People miss this a lot. It says that your gold and your silver have rusted. How many of you know one of the great things and properties of gold and silver is, guess what? They don't rust.
Mine says corroded.
They don't rust. Yeah. They don't corrode either. It's just 6 1/2 dozen of, they don't corrode or rust. One of the things that makes them precious is that they don't rust or corrode, like you're saying, in the natural. That's the key. Gold and silver do not rust, they only tarnish. And one of the main differences between rust or corrosion and tarnish is that tarnish can be cleaned off. Tarnish is just a natural reaction to the metal's exposure to air. Rust, on the other hand, destroys. It actually corrodes in a way. And in this case, it'd be a supernatural manifestation to have rusty gold or silver in your possession, wouldn't it? Not natural. Rust destroys whatever it's connected to over time. It eats away. It doesn't happen overnight. It often happens slowly. So slowly that you can't see the progression of it happening. If you have put things above the Lord in the natural, he oftentimes will destroy or allow supernatural destruction to happen over time. And you have to carefully look to make sure rust isn't creeping into your heart, destroying it with riches. Back to that again. Uncertain wealth is another term that's used to describe this. We come to Shabbat and serve and worship Him when sometimes in the flesh, just staying at home or laying around may seem like a good idea. And I would say to you, if you're serving the Lord, it should cause, and it usually causes, some level of pain to the flesh. And it will. Because your flesh needs to be put under. And if you have no pain in the flesh, well, wonderful, it's put under very well. But that doesn't happen overnight. And usually once you get to that place, then guess what happens? The Lord requires something else. New level, new thing to deal with. Something that you've been doing for 50 years, and all of a sudden the Lord says, okay, that's done. And you say, well, you know, everything was fine last week. What happened? How did we get here? So serving the Lord, it will cost you. But you will be rewarded and blessed by doing it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So getting to Jules' favorite verse here. Verse number 4, James 5, 4. Behold, the wages of the workers who moved your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. That's not right.
Yeah, you ought to treat your neighbors right.
We need to treat people right. And if you have agreements to pay someone, you need to pay them. If you have agreements to do something for someone, you need to do it. Hallelujah. He's talking to his own people about this kind of thing that they weren't doing. When you see someone who you can oppress, we have the obligation not only to not oppress them, but to be an example of godliness and a blessing to them. Hallelujah. God's people were doing to other people the same things that they were done to them in Egypt, when they were poor and oppressed. Money makes people do crazy things. And people will do crazy things for money or for stuff. Unless, you know, there's always a good side, right? There's always a good side for us when we're doing right. Unless they're being led and submitted to the Lord by the Ruach HaKodesh. And it amazes me that Yaakov has to tell and remind his people of this once again. But we're reminded of it to help us. Think about my kids and they were growing up, how many times I had to remind them of things. Often. Think about me growing up, how many times I had to be reminded of things. Often. Think about being married, how many times my wife has to remind me of things. Let me hear it.
Often.
There we go. Hallelujah. So verse 5 says, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts for a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Verse 5 reminds me of the Egyptians who lived on the hard work and the labor of the Israelites, of the slaves, and oppressed them. They enslaved and murdered those who didn't even resist them or fight back. So here it is again. The things that happened to your grandparents and great-grandparents and generations past that were terrible, you've taken it and you're doing it to someone else. Adonai wants better from us. He wants better from them. Those who have used you, oppressed you, we need to bless back. That's it. That's it. That's very simple. I was talking to, there's a gentleman up in, we were camping, and they just happen to come every year at the same time in the same loop. He knows my uncle, so I saw him, we waved, we talked, and we got to talking about some things. I said something about the Lord, so they kind of lit up, and they're believers. And he said, you know, such and such happened, and this guy did such and such to me. And I want, here's what he said, this is just yesterday, and I wanted to say something in the natural, blah, 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 once. But then I realized, no, I'm a believer, I can't do that. And he just let it go and moved on. You know, you can't control people. All you can control is you. That's it. We're called to love people, to honor God, and that's it. We're not here to control anybody but ourselves. And we're certainly not here to hurt anybody, especially intentionally. You know, you can hurt people accidentally, but especially intentionally. Praise you, Lord. So lastly, I just want to say here, we are prepared to do better than this. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.